Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word, read the passage, and then we'll go to the children's talk. And so if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll go to the sermon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is useful to us. We pray that as we read your word now, and as we think more on what it means, that your Spirit would be at work in our hearts. Ready us as we listen. Give us wisdom to know how we should live it out, and give us the will and desire to obey. In Jesus' name, Amen. And now let's read Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant! You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed? So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And now, it's over to the children's talk. Hi everyone, I'm here with 2 of my kids, Kai and Ellie. Say hi guys.
Hi.
Now I want to tell you a story because it's in the lead up to Christmas now, and there was a woman who was really good at giving presents. She was really thoughtful. She thought really hard about the people that she was buying for, and she loved them and cared for them so much that she wanted to get them really good Christmas presents. And so she did. And one of her friends, she knew, didn't know how to cook rice well. This friend would put the rice on the stove, and she would put the water in and turn the stove on, and then the water would bubble away. And either the rice was super gluggy, or it was hard. It was uncooked. It wasn't good. So for this friend, do you know what she decided to do? She decided to get her friend
a rice cooker. And that way, this friend could plug it into the wall and put the rice in and put the right amount of water in, and the machine, the appliance, would cook the rice for her. She wouldn't even need to worry about how long it took. She just presses the button, and then it would cook it, and the button would pop up when it was all done. Isn't that a good present? Do you think that would be a good present?
Yeah.
Is that really nice and useful?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. But then she was thinking about another of her friends, and she was thinking, gee, this one has everything that they need, and they don't really want anything. But do you know what? This friend loves animals. And so I bet, she was thinking, and yes, that's what I'll do. I will buy them a year pass to the zoo. Doesn't that sound amazing? Having a pass to go to the zoo whenever you want throughout the year. Oh, that sounds so good for an animal lover. And so she thought, that is exactly what I'll do. And then this other friend really loved to go for bike rides. But then one day their bike crashed and was broken and couldn't be used anymore. And so this woman decided, well, that's what I'll get my friend. I will get them a brand new bike. And so she did. Isn't she a really thoughtful gift giver? Don't those gifts sound really good for those friends?
Yes, yes.
And so she gave them those Christmas presents. But then, halfway through next year, she found out something about her friends and about her presents that she gave. The one friend that she gave the rice cooker to, do you know, the rice cooker was still in its box in the pantry. It hadn't even been opened, hadn't been used once. How do you think this woman would have felt after putting so much thought and care into this gift? How would she have felt about that?
Really sad and hurt, kind of angry.
Yeah, I think she would have felt sad and maybe a little bit angry and annoyed and frustrated.
Hurt.
Yeah. It's not good when you give someone a gift and they don't use it. And so she went to another friend and she discovered something else. This friend, who loves animals, that she had given a pass to go to the zoo, she hadn't been to the zoo once. After all of that thought and care that had gone into that present, it hadn't been used once. How do you think she would have felt about that?
Very bad.
Hurt. Very sad. Hurt.
Yeah.
Angry.
Yeah, that's right. It wouldn't have been good because her gift, hadn't been used. And then she found out that her other friend, the one who had broken their bike, who loved bike riding and had broken their bike, and she had given a brand new bike, she discovered that halfway through the year, this new bike still had its bow on it, and it hadn't been ridden once. Instead, this friend was going for walks with their old bike, the one that was broken, pushing it along, sad that it wasn't working. That's really silly, isn't it? That's not good. They've got a brand new bike that they could use. How do you think this person would have felt?
Bikes cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
So she would be really angry and hurt.
Yeah, that's right. Angry and hurt. Because when you're given a gift, it is good and right to use the gift. That's what the person who gives it to you wants you to do with it. They want you to use it. Do you know, we're thinking, it is in the lead up to Christmas, and we're thinking about presents, and we're thinking about something that God has given us, something that he wants us to use, something that he wants us to treasure. Do you know, he has given us his word. He has given us the Bible, and he wants us to put it to work. He wants us to believe it. For a lot of people, they have God's gift. They have a Bible in their house, and maybe they even go along to church and they hear the Bible taught each week, but they don't actually believe it. God is giving them a gift, the Bible, which tells them all about Jesus and how they can be saved from their sin. But then these people, they don't believe it. They don't trust in this good news. They're not putting their gift to work. They're not believing in the message. How do you think God feels about that?
Angry.
I think you're right. I think God is angry that people don't listen to his word, because he's given a good word. He has given a great message, a message that we can be forgiven when we trust in Jesus. And so we need to make sure that we put his message to work, that we believe it, that we trust what he says, that we put our trust in the one that the message is all about, that we trust in Jesus, that he died for us. We need to put God's present, his word, to work in our hearts. And I hope and pray that you will do that all of your lives. And so let's pray that we all would do that. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the gift of your word, which tells us about the gift of your son. We pray for these kids and for all the kids listening and for all the grown-ups listening, that we would all be trusting in Jesus, believing this good word that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I was at a cafe maybe 2 months ago, not in Bendigo, just taking a breather from driving, and ordered a drink. The place was busy, but not extremely busy. I sat down. I waited. I watched other people get their orders. I waited. I watched while the waitress who took my order walked past me over and over, and I waited. Eventually, I asked about my drink, and off she went and was back a few minutes later with the drink and an apology. And then I tried the drink, a hot chocolate. It was so weak, it was almost just warm milk. Even though I could see she was working, it wasn't the service I was wanting or thought I paid for. It's very frustrating when someone or something doesn't work like they're supposed to. And in this story that Jesus told, it's dangerous for the person not working as expected. I wasn't pleased at that cafe, but they're not losing sleep over that, because I didn't tell them. Much more significant is, will Jesus be pleased with me? Will Jesus be pleased with you? He came once as a baby, he'll come again to judge and reward. And in this parable, Jesus says, use it or lose it. And as we trace the story, we find three scenes. First, verses 14 to 18, a job given. Second, verses 19 to 23, two servants rewarded. And third, verses 24 to 30, one servant condemned. Will Jesus be pleased with us? He says to use it or lose it. First, verses 14 to 18, our first heading, a job given. This story Jesus told comes right off the back of another story. Jesus is preparing his disciples for the fact he's about to die, rise again, and then ascend into heaven. He's preparing them for the long wait between his going and coming again. He just told the parable of the 10 virgins, where they had to wait for the coming of the bridegroom for his wedding. 5 were foolish and weren't prepared for a long wait, but 5 were wise and prepared. In that parable, we learn that we're to be ready, waiting for Jesus' return for the coming of the kingdom. In this story, the parable of the talents, we learn what being ready means. While we wait, we work. We use it or lose it. We see in verse 14 that there's a man travelling to a far country and is getting his affairs in order. He's an important man, and he wants to make some money while he's away. And so he calls his servants and hands over some money. In verse 15, he gives one 5 talents, to another he gives 2, and to another he gives 1. That sounds strange to our 21st century ears, that this man would give talents to someone. What would that look like? Does he make one talented at basketball? Does he give another a talent at cross-stitch? Maybe he'll make the other one so talented at singing that he'll get into the finals of The Voice Jerusalem. But it makes much more sense when we realise that a talent was a measurement. It was a weight of money, probably gold or silver. And he wants his servants to put it to work. They're not just supposed to hold on to it. Look at verse 15. He gave to each according to his own ability. To the one especially savvy at business, he gave 5 talents. To the one with the least ability, he gave 1 talent. But that's still an incredible amount of money. 1 talent would take almost 16.5 years for a labourer to earn. I'd be sweating if I was given that kind of money. But the servants know what their master expects of them. See in verse 16? Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Why would he do that? A job had been given. 2 servants did what was expected and they were extremely successful, doubling what had been given to them. Can you imagine doubling your money? That's the kind of promise these get-rich-quick schemes make. It's incredible. But 1 hid what had been given. What will the master do when he returns? That brings us to our second heading in verses 19 to 23, 2 servants rewarded. The master comes back after a long time, verse 19. Here's a hint from Jesus himself that it'd be a long time before he came back. Of course, a long time is relative. It could mean 1 year, or 20, 80, 2,000, 6,000. We don't know when our Lord will return from his journey. But we do know what he'll do when he returns. He'll settle accounts. He'll call his servants to himself and ask what we've done with what he's given. Have we put it to work? Have we used it? We have 2 almost identical reports from 2 servants and identical reactions from the master. The one given 5 talents comes before his master, eager to show how hard he's worked. Verse 20, Lord, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides these. And how does the Lord respond? With congratulations and joy and reward. He didn't need to respond that way. How would you respond if you employed someone, gave them a task, and they came up to you a little while afterwards and said they were finished? Imagine owning a supermarket and telling one of your staff to stock the shelves. Christmas is coming, and you want the shelves full of Christmas puddings and chocolate coins and fruit mince pies. You walk by a little bit later, and they're just putting the last box of fruit mince pies on the shelf. The employee turns to you, smiles, and says she's finished. What do you do? If you're being polite and encouraging, you tell her that she's done a good job. If you were in a hurry, maybe you wouldn't bother. Either way, you'd give her another job to do, wouldn't you? She wouldn't be expecting a medal for doing her job, no parade, no bump in her pay. She'd done what she was told to do. But that's not the case with this servant or the one given 2 talents who invested and made another 2. Their Lord gives them a reward. Verse 21, repeated in verse 23, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." All their effort and strain was worth it. They were recognized. The master was pleased with them. He knew their character and hard work. They were good and faithful. And he says he'll give them even more to do. They were faithful over a little. That would have surprised those listening to this story Jesus told. Since when is 5 talents a little? But clearly, this master wasn't just rich. He was super duper rich. And they'd enjoy more responsibility because they were good and faithful. But this isn't just a story of a job given and 2 servants rewarded. The challenge comes in verses 24 to 30, our third heading, with 1 servant condemned. The servant who hid the money comes and explains himself in verse 24. Why hadn't he put the money to work? Because he was afraid of the master. Verse 24, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. He seems to think his Lord takes advantage of others. He's probably not suggesting his master is a thief, going into fields he doesn't own and harvesting the work of others. Probably he's a savvy businessman and gets profits from the labour of others. He doesn't put his own hand to the plough. And the servant seems to think this is wrong, a defect in his Lord's character. He also says he's afraid of what his Lord would do if he didn't do a good job and bring a return. So instead of using what he was given, he buried it. For the sake of the story, it doesn't really matter if the servant was right about the master or not, because the focus is on how the servant behaved. Whether he was right or not, this is what the servant believed, and it's by that belief that the master judges him. But we'll think about how to compare Jesus to this master in a moment. The servant's called wicked and lazy in verse 26. He was given a job and he didn't do it. He was given money so that he'd put it to work and make a return. How could he not do his duty? How could he betray that trust? It was wicked and lazy to bury it in the ground. Yes, he kept the money safe. No one stole it, but it wasn't given to him for safekeeping. It was given for investing. Imagine giving money to a stockbroker and they hide it under their mattress because they were worried about losing it. And then in verses 26 and 27, the man uses the servant's logic against him. If he was so scared of failing and of the man's reaction, at least give it to the bankers. At least get some interest. Grow it a little bit, even if it wasn't doubled. Who knows how much interest he could have earned, given he was away for so long. And because he was given a treasure and didn't use it, he's judged. Because this isn't just about business or money. This is a picture of the kingdom of heaven. This is a story to tell us what it means to wait for the king to return. Jesus is saying, use it or lose it. Use what Jesus has given you. Put it to work or you'll lose everything. Everything, even your very soul. How does Jesus expect us to apply this parable? What does it mean to use it or lose it? Jesus' time is running out, and he is urging the disciples, and through them he's urging us, to not be the wicked and lazy servant. Soon he'll be on the cross. The reason he was born will finally be fulfilled. He was born so he could die for his people, taking their punishment. The kingdom is coming, and without Jesus, we're not ready. We've all been given a talent. We've heard the gospel. The gospel is the most valuable treasure in the universe. It's the message that through the death of Jesus, we can be forgiven. Without Jesus, we have no hope of entering the kingdom of heaven. We tend to think that God is pleased with anything we do, even if we bury the good news of the gospel, even if we never really think about Jesus and don't live for him, don't care that he was born to die in our place. We think that entry into the kingdom of heaven is automatic. But Jesus came because it's not automatic. And he offers us the talent of the gospel. that if we believe it, we'll be saved. We'll have eternal life. But only if we believe it. Only if we put that talent to work, so to speak, trusting that Jesus took the punishment for our sin. Don't be like the wicked and lazy servant. Don't bury this good news and think you'll be accepted by Jesus, our Master. This parable is a warning. Heaven isn't automatic. If you reject this gospel, you'll be thrown into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It doesn't matter how often you come to church. If you don't believe, the Master won't reward you. Don't be put off by the description of the man as hard, reaping what he hadn't sown. Jesus isn't describing himself. Jesus is good and kind. He came to die for sinners like you and me. He always does what's right and true. But he's not a soft touch. He will hold all people to account and cast out those who don't trust in him. But he'll also reward those who love and believe in him. We'll enter his joy. And don't be confused with this image of trading and putting the talent to work. This isn't saying you work for salvation. It's just using the ideas of the parable. To invest the talent is to believe the gospel. And don't think the only thing God has given is the gospel. He's given us everything, and he expects us to put everything to work for the sake of the gospel. He has given us talents, like we use the word today. To some, he has given a beautiful singing voice. To others, he has given the gift of time. Maybe you're single, or you don't have kids, or the kids have moved out of home. God wants you to leverage everything you have for the gospel. How can you use that singing voice? Could you encourage others? Maybe join a local choir to make friends and share the gospel? How could you use your time? You could visit people in the church. Call them. You could serve in mainly music or Sunday school. If you have kids at home, you can use that for the gospel. Firstly, by training your kids to understand the Bible and love Jesus. But you can also make friends with other parents. Do you have money? You can give generously to the church. You can contribute to other gospel causes like our missions partners. Do you work or play sport, or are you part of another group? Take a chance and speak the gospel. Are you sick? Is it sometimes too hard to get out of bed? Pray. Pray for the church here and around the world. Pray the gospel would spread. God has given us everything we have, and Jesus says, use it or lose it. Use everything you have and are for the cause of the gospel. Don't be half-hearted. Don't live as though you don't have the gospel. Don't bury it like the wicked servant. Don't lose it. Don't bury it and be judged by the king. Use it and enter into his joy. Use it or lose it. Let's pray. Our good and generous God, we are so thankful for everything you've given us. Supremely, you've given us the gospel. But you've given us everything. Every moment our heart beats is a gift from you. Our house, our family, job, money, abilities, interests, it all comes from you. We pray we would put it all to work, that we would truly believe the gospel and live like we believe the gospel by putting everything we have to work for the cause of the gospel. May we grow in our love for you, for the church, and for the lost. May Jesus Christ be honoured by everything we do as we seek to share the good news everywhere you place us. In Jesus' name, Amen. I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. With the current regulations, we are back to one service at 10 a.m. This service is open to everyone, regardless of vaccination status, and you don't need to book your seat. I hope to see you there next week at 10 a.m. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.